This is the Ask Pastor Alex podcast with your host, Pastor Alex.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I am Pastor Alex, lead pastor of Georges Creek Baptist Church in Easley, South Carolina. And I know it's been a while since our last episode, but I took my once a year vacation and our area was hit hard by Hurricane Helene. So our church was hit hard. A lot of our area was hit incredibly hard by that hurricane. We were without power and internet for quite some time. But the power is back on now, and so we're back with another question. And the question for this episode is, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Some will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom"? Now, if you're not familiar with where this comes from, this actually comes from the last part of Matthew 16. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, and Jesus says this right in the middle of two great events. The first is Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the second great event is the transfiguration. So let's get our bearings by reading some of Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 24 to 28. This is what the Bible says. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, just like with most difficult passages in the Bible, people are not in agreement as to what they believe this verse means. With regard to this verse, there are pretty much four main views. The first view says that this refers to Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Essentially, what they're saying here is that Jesus was prophesying that his disciples would not die before they personally witnessed his death, resurrection, and ascension. And they say that these great acts were a manifestation of Jesus' glory and a bringing of his kingdom. Now, I believe this view is entirely legitimate. It's entirely possible. However, I don't personally hold to this view. The second view says that this verse refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Those who hold to this view say that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was a manifestation of the glory of God and a clear sign of the kingdom of God being present on earth. Now, this view is less likely, in my opinion, than the first. Specifically because the verse talks about the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And Son of Man is Jesus' favorite title for himself. And so it's referring to Jesus here, not to the Holy Spirit. In other words, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the Spirit coming in the kingdom, not Jesus. So I don't personally hold to this view either. The third view says that Jesus was saying here that some of his disciples would continue to live until he returns. So this isn't referring to his resurrection and ascension. This is referring to the second coming of Christ. And so those who hold this view say that Jesus was actually saying that there were going to be some of his disciples who would continue to live until he returns again. In my opinion, this is the weakest of the views, primarily because we know that all of Jesus's 12 disciples have died. And Jesus hasn't returned yet. We have very detailed accounts of all of the deaths of the disciples, and so we know they died, which means none of them stayed alive until Jesus returned. So what is this actually referring to? Well, this leads us to the fourth view. The fourth view says that this verse refers to the transfiguration of Jesus. They say that when Jesus took only some of his disciples, namely Peter, James, and John, up on the mountain to see his unveiled glory, that was a fulfillment of what Jesus was saying here, that some would not taste death until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, this is the view that I personally hold to, and for good reason. So let's have a hermeneutics lesson real quick. For those of you who don't know what hermeneutics is, it's just the discipline of biblical interpretation. One of the most important, and I would argue most important, rules of hermeneutics is context is king. Context determines meaning. So when you're studying the Bible and you come across a difficult passage, it's always best to look at the literary context, what comes before the passage and what comes after the passage. So the key points of Jesus's prophecy are that only some will see this, and what they will see is the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in his kingdom. Well, what comes immediately after Jesus says this? Matthew says in 17, verse 1, And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. 6 days after what? After Jesus spoke the words of this prophecy. So the two passages are already connected. Whatever comes next, it's intrinsically tied to the prophecy by time. Jesus says, some will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And immediately after this, Matthew says, now after 6 days, Jesus took with him up on the mountain Peter, James, and John. And what happens on the mountain? Jesus is transfigured before their very eyes. He gives some of his disciples a glimpse of not only his pre-incarnate glory, but also of the glory that he will have after his ascension. And God gave the prophet Daniel a vision of this Son of Man. I want you to notice this. Daniel describes his appearance in Daniel chapter 10, verse 6, like this. His face like the appearance of lightning. So Daniel is saying that when he looked at the Son of Man in this vision, the Son of Man had a face whose appearance was like that of lightning. And how does Matthew describe Jesus' face? Well, in chapter 17, verse 2, he says, "And his face shone like the sun." So this is a partial fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, and it's a full, actual fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. Some of his disciples have just seen the Son of Man, of whom the scripture foretold, coming in his kingdom in glory. Now, listen, maybe you're not convinced yet. So another key principle of biblical interpretation is that scripture interprets scripture. Meaning, anytime you have a difficult passage, you need to try to see if there's another biblical passage that sheds more light on the one you're struggling with. Did you know, for instance, that Peter actually records in scripture what he thought about this event, about the transfiguration? I mean, that's pretty important for understanding it, is it not? So how did Peter, who was on the mountain with Jesus, understand what took place there? Well, we read exactly what he thought about it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. This is what Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Now, what event is Peter talking about here? It can't be Jesus' baptism, even though the voice from heaven said there as well, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," because Peter says that they were with him on the holy mountain. So he must be talking about the transfiguration. And notice a couple of things Peter says about the event of the transfiguration. He says that it revealed the glory of the Lord. And also, this is crucial for understanding this question that we're dealing with now. Did you notice Peter says it was the power and the coming of the Lord? So what did Peter think about the transfiguration? He said the transfiguration was not only a revelation of the glory of Jesus, but it was the power and the coming of the Lord. He said it right there in verse 16. Jesus said in Matthew that some of his disciples would not taste death until they had seen him coming in his kingdom. And Peter is saying here that Jesus's prophecy was fulfilled in the event of the transfiguration, because that was the Lord coming in glory in his kingdom. So this, I believe, is what Jesus meant when he said that some of his disciples would not taste death until they saw him coming in his kingdom. He meant that some among them, namely Peter, James, and John, would see him coming in his kingdom and in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is confirmed not only by the immediate context of the passage, but also by Peter's own account and understanding of what happened on the mountain. So remember, when you're reading the Bible, pay attention to the context of the passage you're reading. Also, remember, anytime you're faced with a difficult passage, try to see if there's another passage that is clearer that can help you understand the difficult one. So I hope you found this answer helpful. I appreciate the question. Keep submitting them. I'm reading them. I promise I'll get to them as soon as I can. And I look forward to answering more in the future.